Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There she is, Jules Gill. This is the Untitled Banter Podcast. I'm Scott Tilford, UBP, all the introductions, all at once. I'm Scott Tilford again, joined by Jules Gill.
That was way too much, man. That was like being hit with like a sugar rush just right there. It was just kind of like right into the eyeballs.
That's what you get after a week off.
Who are we? What's going on, mate?
We're the Untitled Banter Podcast. This is the UBP.
The UBP.
Where we ask people for their various questions, thoughts, whatever they would like us to talk about each and every week. And we got a lovely response last week. Mr. Josh Brown stepping in when you had to last minute take some time off because of all the chains. That were doing the rounds nearby.
Apologies to everyone there. Like Scott and I were talking as it was happening. I was getting a wall installed upstairs. Classic stuff, I know. And then it was basically like they told us that they would probably be finished around the time that, like, maybe an hour before we start doing our recordings. And it got to that point and we were just like, they are nowhere near finished, man. This is not going to go on. And I had Kerry, both the cats, I had roadworks going on outside and that going on upstairs. I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to record this.
Yeah, the beauty of working from home where it's just sort of any random seagull can just tank a recording as well as everything else. But thank you very much for everybody for sending in their various questions and stuff. There's been a lot of things happening this week, including the fact that me and Jules both didn't realize that No More Heroes 3 is just out today alongside everything else.
I swear, was this like a shadow drop? Like, did it advertise that it was coming? I just don't know.
I thought it was like an October game, and I thought it was mid-September, and then I woke up this morning and the reviews were just out, and I was like, oh, so it's just a thing then, it's just out.
I just think that time dilation at the moment is a real thing. Like, it just feels like it's just one long day at the moment, isn't it?
At the same time, it's kind of cool that games are back. Like, you know, Psychonauts is out, Ghost of Tsushima's DLC is out. There's a nice chunk of stuff to play again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll get to all your questions. We'll see, because me and you have both been playing Psychonauts too. We'll see if we can wrangle that in at some point. The first question from Haley from Camp Crystal Lake said, please give me all your thoughts on the new Saints Row written out in caps lock. And also a question from Darren Martin, who said, do you think any game similar to Grand Theft Auto will ever be able to compete, especially since they haven't released a new one in almost 10 years? Podcasts are still fantastic. Keep smashing it, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, mate.
But yeah, where did you come down on the new Saints Row stuff? Because it is hella divisive online.
Well, this is the thing. So the way that I see the Saints Row franchise is like a sort of spiraling down into pure insanity. And I'm not saying that in terms of quality. I'm just saying that they really let go of the reins and just let those wild stallions run. And Saints Row, the first one, always sort of acted as a sort of anchor point. It was like this is our roots. We were a GTA clone, in effect. It's got a lot of the trappings of that era, and it's just got like a sort of like slight over the top vibe, but nothing like as extreme as things got in Saints Row 4. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally found Saints Row 1 and 2 to be maybe more enjoyable than some of the latter crazier ones. I definitely bounced off Saints Row 4. It was just like, here's everything. And when I was just like, okay, I have everything, it makes everything, a lot of stuff, redundant. But that's just my personal opinion on that.
No, so I think
seeing them take that over the top attitude, that Fast and the Furious mentality, and applying it to this first game, I'm kind of like, ooh, is this just chasing your own tail now? Because you don't look like you're innovating here. You're basically just going wacky, crazy. It's like, you've done that already. What's the new thing? I don't know if I want this reboot to basically say, hey, that slightly grounded storyline that we were telling is now completely out over the top and out of the window. Because at the end of the day, when you are playing as somebody who has literal superpowers, can have a dubstep gun and all of these crazy, hey, cool, we're down with the kids, like weaponry and skills, I don't feel like my character's ever in danger. And therefore, it's very hard for me to think of this as being like, oh, a tense firefight when I can just walk around the corner and blast somebody's face off with an acid sprayer.
See, the thing that I like Saints Row 1 because it was that sort of like midpoint before GTA 4 got there. It was like, oh, a next gen GTA style game. And then Saints 2, I actually bounced right off. And I get that Saints 2 is the fan favorite. But for me, it was just more of that and it wasn't enough. And then for me, Saints 3 is my favorite because at the time I thought, and I still do think Saints 3's script is just hilarious. I think it's really well written. I love how self-aware it is. I love the fact that they're all robbing a bank with their own fake faces, masks of themselves. And then they're signing autographs because they're all famous inside that world, but they're still doing crimes. I thought that stuff was brilliant. Saints 4, like you said, is where I also bounced off because I was like, this is too crazy, to the point where the superpowers are negating even the idea of traveling somewhere. Like, why would you get a car? Why would you use weapons when you've got superpowers and you can fly? It just sort of, it's kind of inverted itself. And then I barely played God Out of Hell. And so for the new one, I was always curious what kind of direction they were going to go in, because it's like those two, like, you know, diverging paths of identity for the IP. And they've kind of tried to hybridize it and gone like, well, it's grounded. There are car chases, but it's also over the top. Everybody's pretty much made of rubber and there's no threat. And I don't go.
And everyone's got those bloody stupid robotic cat heads.
Yeah, well, I did a little tweet for that yesterday, because when did that become a thing? Like, I guess maybe it was from Watch Dogs, or maybe Deadmau5 when Deadmau5.
No, it's going to be something along those lines of Deadmau5, or it would be when Zero came along in Borderlands 2 and popularized the I have no expression, but I have numbers and emojis to express my thing. Like, it's that sort of like, hey, look, we're wacky in a way. I don't.
It's
like
an emoji
it.
For a face, because I just sort of looked at the trailer and I was like, this feels like a Fortnite CG character introduction. Like, this is what you would put out if you're about to debut a new character in Fortnite.
I thought it was for a split second. I thought it was like Fortnite season, whatever we're on now.
And that's kind of the thing. And I just, as you know, I don't feel like it has much of its own identity but at the same point, it kind of does need to be another reset point to go forward again. And so for me, the thing that actually turned me around on it, I thought the CG was fine. I thought CG trailers I mostly discard anyway, but I did think that the gameplay that's out there for it does look solid, like nice, you know, looks like 60 frames a second, looks like a high resolution, physics-based carnage stuff where they show like a car chase and a few other bits of gameplay. And that stuff looks fine. I think for me, it's just filling that gap of what GTA hasn't filled for like 8 years now. Because I don't know about you, but I'm never playing GTA online. Like, I played that back at launch and I'm just kind of like, well, if I want a single player offline crime sandbox game, I have to go way back into the past again. Even GTA 5, I don't really enjoy that much. So I would go back to an older GTA, Sleeping Dogs, something like that. And so I like the idea of them plugging that gap, but it is just ticking a box at some point.
I feel like maybe they're putting themselves in a hard situation, because if they've taken craziness to the extreme with Saints Row 4, and now they're saying, hey, look, it's slightly dialed back, then you're actually providing less for fans who loved that Saints Row 4 craziness in the first place. And you're also trying to rewrite your own history, which is probably going to piss off a few of the earlier fans as well. So a bit of a hard place for them to be in right now.
I think as well, like, I've seen a lot of backlash, a lot of comments on just like the actual aesthetic of the gang. They don't look like a gang. They look like a bunch of people. Just like a bunch of people off the street doing wacky things. And it's like, no, that's fine. Like, that can be fun. Like, you can write a self-aware script around like this sort of insane scenario that they're thrown into. But I get that if you compare them to the way that everybody looked in Saints 1 through 3 and before all the Neo Matrix stuff of Saints 4, then they just don't look like a bunch of gangsters. So it's like, at some point, maybe just call it a different IP.
I feel like Saints Row 1 and 2 managed to capture that thing of like, it was a power fantasy, but it never made you feel like you were so overtly overpowered that it became like trivial. And seeing the CG trailer of them being like, hey, look, I've just survived a complete car accident. And I'm like going, woohoo, or something like that. It's like,
that's every game right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, man, I don't feel like there's any sense of danger or threat to these characters at all. So therefore, when they're like, hey, cool, look how badass we are. It's like, you're not badass if nothing is challenging you. Like
a little bit, yeah. It's sort of like, because that was always the best thing about, like, the first time that they showed off Uncharted 2's big building collapsing set piece, and then like Drake sort of stood up on the other side of it and was like, holy crap, like, we were almost in that. And it's like, that you need that little acknowledgement of how insane things are to some degree. I like the idea of them going a bit crazy with it, but yeah, I feel like I just need to see a bit more. It's kind of crazy that it's out in February and we've just seen like the debut now, we've seen a tiny bit of gameplay.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder, that's only like a few months. Well, I guess it's like sort of 6 months-ish or whatever.
That's not long in the game development world.
And that's what makes me wonder, like, how much more can be done with it. I mean, did they show more off at the Game Awards, or did they just wait? I mean, there's not that many more high-profile shows until next February. But yeah, I guess I'm cautiously optimistic. But at the same time, the trailer itself didn't really blow me away. I think the CG side of it looked pretty lame. But I love Saints, so I'm curious. I'm playing Saints 4 right now. I've got the disease. I re-downloaded it. It's... I can't help myself. But yeah, next question from North Karaya, who says, Ledgers, what game has the best looking food?
Ooh.
This is a gut. What's your gut say?
My gut says
Final Fantasy 15.
I was about to say Final Fantasy 15 has some insanely good looking food because of the attention to detail they went to with the campfire stuff. But for me personally, it's the Meowster Chef's dishes from Monster Hunter 4, because, or was it for Monster Hunter Ultimate, isn't it, that we're on now?
Rise of the Modern Switch, where they started prioritizing, what do they call it, Bunny Dango or something? Bee Dango? Where you get that stick full of all the meatballs, and every time that comes out and it's all steaming, I almost swore there. I effing love that. It's lunchtime when we're recording this, and just thinking of that is pretty good.
The best thing is that when the Meowster Chef actually like does the dish, and then he unveils it from the little a silver dish thing, it's just kind of like, it looks so tasty, you're just like, oh man,
the eating animations as well, just scran it like Homer Simpson just put it all in my head. Yeah, Monster Hunter and the newest ones especially, World and Rise, and then Final Fantasy 15. Next question from Ruben, I would love to hear your thoughts on Marvel's Midnight Suns, the new project from the XCOM team. Seems to be a turn-based RPG, but that shares actually very little mechanics with XCOM, and it won't have permadeath. I guess permadeath and XCOM was always optional anyway, but
with permadeath, well, it was always optional unless you were scum saving your way through the game, which I'm pretty sure every
game
on
easy, I think, couldn't you?
I feel that for Fire Axis to come out and just be like, hey, look, it's a Marvel game, but it's nothing like XCOM. I'm just like, put my hand up, like, excuse me, why would you not want it to be like XCOM? Yeah. It's like literally a cult classic favorite.
It's like the era of like the turn based thing revival as well. We got Metal Slug coming back, like Gears of War just did Gears Tactics. Like, it feels like,
why would you say that it's not part of like the greater collective thing, and you are the like at the moment the creators of it, so why would you not want people to go?
I do know, like, even because like Ewan and Josh will run a mile from turn-based stuff. I think there's something in the water that the youth drink where they don't like the turn-based stuff as much as we do, and I wonder if that's, they're trying to skirt that line of like, don't worry guys, it's not completely turn-based, there's animations you'll be controlling, it's fine. Whereas like, I give me anything turn-based, I love it. And for me the appeal was XCOM Marvel. I mean, I've not looked into this yet, I'm just going off what Ruben says. If it is more of a turn-based RPG rather than a sort of grid-based tactical thing, that's still totally fine for me. I don't know about you.
The only thing that I can think of is that XCOM does put itself into kind of the niche bracket, because it does play up to its, it is harder than hard, it's harder than your dad sort of thing. It's like, so I can understand why they would want to sort of downplay that a little bit, because they want to make it feel like it's more open to the wider public, especially when it's a license as big as Marvel. But when you look at the character animations, when you look at the sort of stuff that they're doing, you're telling me that that's not an XCOM game? Like, the character models are so blocky because clearly it's meant to be shown from an isometric point of view. Like, we're going to be zoomed out, dude. Like,
well, there's one bit where it shows, I'm sure it's Iron Man firing like an ion beam and it bounces off Cap's shield. And I was like, cool, if we can do tag team moves, that'd be really cool. Also for the permadeath stuff, I guess they just wouldn't do that because your team of heroes couldn't die.
Marvel probably wouldn't even like license it, or if they did die, they'd come back in the next episode sort of thing. Like,
what were your general thoughts on the trailer reveal? I thought the art style was a bit weird. Apparently Midnight Suns is a thing from the 90s. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I spoke to Ewan about it a little bit, because of the fact that he was getting very irate that Iron Man was included in the Midnight Suns, because he's never been included and should never be included in that group. Apparently. I thought that the new costume designs for some of them were nice, but they were very, very blocky. And the reason being, because I think that we're not going to be seeing them in much detail. We're going to be zoomed out.
And that's
so,
even in the CG render. Like, if that's
I did find that a bit confusing, like that they did that, but like everyone looked like they were made of like push fit stuff.
It was just kind
of
like,
I'm just going to pop some shoulder pads on you here. I'm going to like make this like shiny for no reason. It's like, okay, fine. I guess.
Yeah. Lots of black and gold. I thought that like, is it Robbie Reyes, the new Ghost Rider, look pretty solid?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like some of the visuals do look solid. I like the idea, or the thing that I've sort of vaguely read, that the main character in the middle walking towards the camera is actually your customizable character and you can
Which
be a
very
custom
cool.
hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the idea of that. Especially if you can pick and choose different powers and stuff, like, and you know,
mate,
different
do you
ways
remember
to
that?
Combo.
Do you remember that X-Men men game where you got to create your own mutant? I can't remember what it was called. Oh, man. It was like, it's such a great gimmick because it was like you could basically create your own X-Men member and they would join other ones on like battles. And it was like a really cool concept, but it only boiled down to like three choices pretty much. It was kind of like, do you want to go fast, be strong, or have like
blue skin?
I was like, ah, man, that's such a good concept. Let us actually make our own superhero.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I love the old Ultimate Alliance games. Even Ultimate Alliance 3 was like fine. And like the old X-Men Legends and stuff. Like you take that, take the camera, make it grid-based and give us like way more control over specific power sets and stuff.
Yeah,
that could be really cool.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we saw how even I hate to admit it, but Mario and Rabbids
is one of the best games of the recent years.
That showcased a thing that XCOM hasn't really done properly yet, and that is the fact using your own teammates in order to combo attacks off of each other.
Yeah.
XCOM Chimera Squad kind of like experimented with it, but it didn't really do it in the same way. Because I actually went and played it. I finally got a chance to play this Raven Rabbids game.
Weird.
And I actually was just like, damn, this is a good game. This
it's
is
solid,
really
like,
good game.
The way that they sort of, the way they change combat where you're just thinking of what moves can I combo together? Like, can I jump off one of my dudes to get more range and things like that? I wonder if they're taking a page out of Fire Emblem's book as well, where it's like whoever you're standing next to might buff you and stuff like that. I'm cautiously optimistic. I love Fire Axis, love XCOM. So, and like Marvel, I'm kind of burnt out on Marvel overall, like right now, but I still like the idea of playing as those people.
I feel like if we're in the giant WrestleMania event that is life, we're in the kind of piss break match because it's like we've had the Scarlet Witch show,
WandaVision.
Black Widow has come out. And obviously we've got the Ten Rings one coming out. And let's face it, the trailer for that has painted him to look like a B-lister superhero at best.
Kind of. I think that I love that dude, Simu Liu, I think he's called the martial artist. The main dude looks awesome. Like the actual fights look brilliant. But then I read a review that said that they go away after the first third. So I'm like,
I looked at that trailer and I was there there's something smacks us off of this. And I can't figure out what it is. It feels like we're in a high budget TV show rather than a high budget movie. It feels like it's just like, okay, here's another character.
Well, that's the thing for Marvel overall, and this is such a tangent, but for Marvel overall, Endgame was an ending. Like it was such a cumulative final point. And then like to sort of bring people back in and go like, oh, we got more guys. And it's just like, we were done. Like we were so done. Like
we're playing the Azura's Wrath DLC chapters right now in life. That's what we're doing. We're paying
it just feels
for the
like
ending.
Endgame. Yeah, like we've seen the credits, we've seen the ending. And then I think trying to stimmy up enough energy to keep going is quite a tough task. But in the in video game form, like it playing as the characters is something different. But yeah, hopefully that thing comes together. Next question from Nod Dog, who says, hey, Legends, hope you're doing well. I waded through the hellscape of online scalpers and secured myself a PlayStation 5, but I feel like I should have gotten an Xbox instead because Phil Spencer is handing out games like free candy. I need to know if I made a huge mistake or not. I will let your gut reaction go to this because I know you haven't got either of them yet, but how do you find, how have you, like, what's your thoughts on the way that the console cycle's rolling out so far? Because I've got both, so I'll dive in.
As a nice little, like, savvy penny saver that I am at the moment, this thing, guys, all of my money at the moment is going into buying skips for this bloody house to do this garden renovation.
New fences.
I realized that I actually I bought 5 skips for this house so far, which is more than
when
enough
you said
to
skips,
buy
I thought you
PlayStation
meant the crisps,
5
and then
and
I realized
Xbox.
What you meant. Good.
Ash was calling me Professor Skip the other day, so that's my new nickname. If I was a superhero, I'd be Professor Skip. So The thing is that when it comes down to which console to get, being on the sidelines, being able to look in at what other people are buying and how the two companies are treating their consumers, I actually have to admit that I really dig what both of them are doing, because they are actually approaching the concept of how to game, how to play video games in very different manners. Mm-hmm. I love the technical supremacy that seems to be going on the PlayStation 5 side. I feel like they are really rewarding players, finally starting to kick into gear with their first party titles. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are looking ahead and getting some really nice stuff on the horizon. That's fantastic.
Literally, but, as well.
Yes, horizon. Very true. A, very true. A. That's why they pay you the medium bucks, isn't it, mate? So then the then we've got on the other side, we've got the Xbox, who is basically just going Game Pass. This is it. You can have all of these titles day one, and this is why you want ease of accessibility. That's where we're going for. Mm-hmm. You basically got if the two companies were friends, you've got your really tech-savvy friend on one side who invites you over but doesn't let you touch all of his toys on the shelf just yet because he doesn't want the fingerprints dirtying them up. He collects vinyl. That's what he is. And then on the other side, you've got Microsoft, who's got a slightly warm tin of beer with your name on it, but he's got crisps. He's got endless snacks. He's got all the TV shows on there. He's just like, pull up, watch a few episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and then play Rock Band for a bit. How does that sound? It's a good night in versus a very good night in, but maybe a little bit sterile.
Yeah, and to extend that metaphor, I think that the first person with the shiny things will get there, will realize the value of friendship, will share the things over time, mostly in 2022. But yeah, that's the thing. I will say that in direct response to this, no, you haven't made a mistake. I do think the Game Pass, the thing is, Game Pass is a phenomenal deal, and it is a hell of a thing. And recently, it's been on fire. Like, I mean, like just the last few weeks, it's been the likes of Psychonauts 2, The Ascent, just even little things like Descenders, like the sort of trick-based BMX type game, motocross game. I absolutely love stuff like that. And I think that it encourages you to dip into a wider variety of genres, which is something that, you know, overall people need.
Yeah, what I would just add to that is like the fact they added in the Quake games. Quake I love 2, the fact that they're rewarding nostalgia as well by just going, hey, look, we just secured a deal with Bethesda and we've got all of these other things coming from them. We've got Quake coming here as well. Look, stay tuned. There's like, you know, who knows what else we might snap up.
The thing is, like, because I've got a Series X and a PlayStation 5, so it took me a long time to get both of them, but I managed to get both. And the thing is, like, the Series X is phenomenal, but it doesn't have, like, it has Psychonauts 2. It has the occasional new game, mostly on the indie side, but it doesn't have the, oh my God, what can this next generation do? Yeah. It doesn't tick that box, which is what the PS5 does. So it's like, if you get on PS5, play Returnal, play Ratchet and Clank, play the newest games on the system. Yeah. And that's the thing that I think rewards the money invested more so than just sort of experiencing all the, Series X upgrade stuff, where it's really cool to play SSX 3 in HDR with, like, you know, infinite instant loading and stuff like that. But it's not, I think they both of them have pros and cons. I do think the Series X is a hell of a piece of kit, and Game Pass is brilliant. But so far, there hasn't been anything where I've gone, you should buy an Xbox for Game Pass to play this. It's not like, you know, everything else either comes to PlayStation. Like, the Medium is about to drop on PlayStation next week anyway, or the week after. And it's kind of like, Game Pass is just nice. It's a nice thing. Yeah. Like you said, it's a nice pack of peanuts and a pint of beer, but that's about it.
That's the thing, because I'm lucky in the fact that I've got that for the PC. And so it's like a really minimal cost and I'm getting a lot of reward
out
of it.
You could stream it. You could easily just get Game Pass and stream it to a phone. Like, you could do that.
The fact that I was able to play Sunset Overdrive for the first time, because I didn't get like an original didn't get an Xbox One. I was just really happy to be able to play some of the games that I missed out on that console cycle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's both consoles, like Scott said, have their strengths. But yeah, I think that the Sony PlayStation 5 probably will be the long-term winner in this round, because it's, I feel like when you look at Microsoft's first-party stuff that's coming out, unfortunately, Halo Infinite has not set the world on fire as much as it clearly wants it to.
And also with Infinite, I mean, it's I don't know if he has an older Xbox, but Infinite's on everything. Like, it's on the original Xbox One from 2013 as well. So they both have pros and cons. I think that it's very easy if you only had a PlayStation to look at the amount of stuff that people are getting on Game Pass and just go, well, I wish we had a bit of that. The nearest comparison is obviously PlayStation Now, and they have like older stuff too. But yeah, there's pros and cons. I don't think you should beat yourself up that you don't have an Xbox just yet. But that's not to discount the value of Game Pass. I just don't think there's been anything that's you could really hold up and go, oh my God, guys, you're missing out on this. Like, it's not, they're not there just yet. Whereas I do think something like Ratchet and Clank is like phenomenal. And my game of the year so far. So stuff like
it's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work.
You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
That next question from McAllister NYC, hoping at some point for a UBP at the PUB where you do lots of drinking between questions. Would love some unfiltered drunk takes. I also envision air guitar and Welsh profanity. Have an awesome day.
See, now I would be absolutely keen for that because how many episodes have we actually done of the UBP?
Oh, I don't know. There's a thing on the service that we used to upload where you can put in the episode number, and I stopped using that maybe even a year ago. I don't know how long we've done this now, but.
God, I can't even remember how long it's been since we started, but I would love, absolutely love to do like a special edition one where we record it live somewhere, doing some sort of like, because the fact that the new studio space is all set up and running, or at least it's like 90% of the way there in the new offices, and the fact that I'll be coming to visit you guys like hopefully once a month for a couple of days. I could get something like filmed with you, and where we do like a special episode and do like
When was the last time that we were in a pub? Was that 2019?
Mate, I don't even know.
I think, I like the idea of doing something together.
For some reason, my mind is like screaming back to us just being at a random pint in Wetherspoons up in Gateshead. That's the last time that I remember being next to you.
Probably, yeah. I was thinking of like that. And then when we went down for something in London, I forget what it was. Oh, maybe it was Crash Team Racing. That was ages ago, actually.
Yeah, that was. I'm trying to think of when the last time that we went for a pint was.
The start of last year at the very latest.
I mean, maybe the staff Christmas party would probably be the closest one.
Yeah. This is just two men catching up now, but at the same time, I do like the idea of that. If we could do some sort of live thing, I'll see what episode number we're on, because I vaguely remember us planning a 100 episode thing, and I don't know if we ever did that or not. Like you said, time is a flat circle.
Oh my.
But I'll have to look into what number we're on. But yeah, we like the idea of doing a bit of the UBP and the PUB, and we'll see what we can put together in the future.
I even love that as a title. You know I love my sort of wordplay stuff, so that has just sold me, that.
UBP and the PUB. Yeah, I want to throw in a quick question from last week. We got a lot of questions for this week, but one of the things that we got asked when Josh was on last week, I wanted to pitch to you, is from Harvey Morellas, who says, what's your all-time go-to snack and drink for a night of gaming? I was curious what yours was.
is a tough one because I think that we discussed like food and gaming like way back way and how I'm very adverse to having stuff that makes my fingers sticky when I like play games. Like same. I don't personally don't want a slice of pizza if I'm going to get the controller all greasy. So I kind of...
They should do like pizza, like gaming pizza gloves. Just sort of like slot them on.
I think that those little mini pizza rolls are probably the best solution because you get all of the flavor of pizza, but it's the crust that you're picking up. So you don't have to worry about that in that sense.
Awesome times.
It's a tough one to go for. I mean, when I go for drinks, it would probably be some sort of beer. I do like to have like, I don't drink that often anymore. So I make it into like a special occasion. So if I'm going to have a gaming session planned ahead of me, I'll like chill some Guinness in the fridge. I'll like have an ale and just like sit there with a nice crisp, cool ale and just sat there and just go like, yes, this is what it's all about. But in terms of snacks, I actually go down a different route and don't go for savory. I go for sweet because I like the energy burst to keep you like in the game. Mm-hmm. And I've recently discovered that I can't remember if they're called Malwam pinballs or something like that.
I've heard of Malwam.
They're like vegan and they are like giant Skittles is the best way to describe them, but with a slightly chewier center and very sharp at like citrusy tastes. And I love them because like I only have to have like one or two, have a little gaming session after I finish and just be like, oh, I need to pick me up, have one of them. And I'm like Terry Crews when he's got the choco nibs in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm like just there with the nibs. Like, that deserves a nib.
Just keep diving back in. I rediscovered munchies the other day because I've started going for, swimming again. Munchies are might be the most overlooked but cherished chocolatey good in, UK history? I don't even know if they're worldwide or not, but we have them here.
For those of you at home who don't know what we're on about, the munchies are amazing because they're like chocolate squared off domes.
Yep.
And I wouldn't even know what shape you'd call it.
I want to call it a rhombus, but I don't know if my mind's just shaving.
Let's call
it
a rhombus. A rhombus of chocolate is definitely how you should describe something to get people engaged. So you've got this rhombus of chocolate, and inside you've got caramel, but inside as well, sneaking about like a cheeky whippet, just waiting for your tongue to hit that, to pull it close to your teeth and get a crack on. It is a tiny nugget of crunchy goodness, hard biscuit center.
And the way that they make them, it's you don't get biscuit in every single one of them. So it's the original loot box. You just sort of keep going. It's like a bit of caramel, a bit of biscuit. Oh, that's a really good one, that. What's the next one? Oh, it's caramel again. Let me have another one. Let me find another biscuit. And you keep going. Then
I'm imagining that somebody from like Munchies HQ is listening to this and he's like, wait a minute, we don't put any hard biscuit in there. What's he on about? So has there been like another rat feces problem again? British chocolate.
But this is another random tangent, but I've started swimming again to try and lose a bit of weight. To try and get back into, let me be seen by outdoor people again size. So I was like, right, I'm going to start doing a bit of the old swimming again. And let me tell you that chocolate after swimming is the best taste in the world. Anything after exercise is brilliant.
You're talking to me like I didn't do that for my entire pre-teen years.
Well,
went for a swim on the Sunday with the mates, crowded around in a little arcade cabinet that had Daytona USA there, and also the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. So that was a blast.
Get around with Freddo's in for the boys.
Mate, it was chomps, it was Freddo's, it was sometimes if you're feeling real spicy, you go for fries and peppermint cream bars.
Oh, bloody hell. That's a fine time. I think the thing is, why did no one advertise the idea of exercise with the reality that food itself tastes better afterwards? That's what, tell teenage me that and I would have jumped on the running machine, the elliptical. I couldn't have got enough of it. But it's like, point being, the chocolate, very good after swimming. I forget what the question was, but it's...
No, we've made our own point now.
Next question, thank you very much. From Schmans Schmilliamson, what's your pet peeve for gaming as you get older? I'm from a rural area where the internet is okay, but not always. So mine is, I hate when games force you to be online or need to constantly be updated to be played. I miss the days of just playing. Thank God it's Friday, you're legends. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your contribution. I feel for you, mate, because having bad internet when everything has got all these DRM stuff, it's just like, get out of my life.
Call of Duty, like the it's doing the rounds at the minute that the newest Call of Duty Vanguard is 270 gig later this year.
And you are kidding me.
That's the thing too in the rounds. I mean, my general response was just okay, because Call of Duty right now, if you have Modern Warfare, Black Ops Cold War and Warzone installed, is about 200-300 gig. It's most
that's
of
ridiculous.
It. Oh God, it's stupid. Like, just condense the damn files. Like, it's ridiculous.
What's the average file space that you get on a Xbox One, Xbox Series X or PS5? 500 gig, isn't it?
Most of them go for a terabyte now. I think the Series X is a terabyte. But by the time it's had the OS and it does that whole crunch thing, you end up with like 800 odd gig or whatever it is.
Oh, so, yeah, well, lucky you. You get nearly like half of your console taken up by the operating system.
Yeah, if you have like a Series S, then like getting Call of Duty just is your hard drive. And it's like there's a whole conspiracy theory of Activision forcing other games off your hard drive so you only have Call of Duty, so it's a Call of Duty machine.
That's sinister.
That would be really funny or weird or hilarious or tragic if it is the case. But yeah, in terms of, that's why I mentioned this, because someone like him, it would take him weeks or months to be able to download a game. And like, yeah, I would hate that.
So I used to hang around with a group of Australian lads who were just constantly in awe of my pretty pathetic internet speeds, because out there where they live, they were just like, nah, man, like sometimes the internet will just like collapse over itself. Downloads they'd have to leave on, not just overnight, but over several days in order to get like a few gigabytes.
Student
just kind of like, How does that even work? Yeah. What's going on over there?
Well, it was like for the longest, I mean, we're old enough to remember 56K modems. Whereas like now the idea of one gig download was a big deal. And now it's like 50, 60, 100 gig downloads, which it is kind of crazy. In terms of pet peeves as I get older, mine is checkpointing. If you can't respect my time as a gamer, I'm just going to give up. It's why I've not finished Returnal. And I know that that's more of a genre thing, but I need some sort of thing that carries over. If I'm literally just resetting and losing everything, I'm just going to go, well, what was the point? I've literally wasted 3 hours. Like, oh, I unlocked a different power up for the next run. That stuff just, it just makes me, I hate it. No, it just makes my blood itch. I just hate it. I just go, I can't stand it. I don't know if it's the same for you with that genre, but
still. Oh, it's definitely a pet peeve. But for me, my choice of thing that annoys me to no end, that absolutely rakes my coals, as it were, is definitely when games come along and they add an achievement due to DLC that gets released afterwards. But what they do is they lock that off from like you ever getting 100%. I hate
that.
It's like what they should do is they should allow like achievement hunters or like just games in general to segregate the like offline portion of like achievement goals and online sections, or have them like gated off so that you can still get like the nab all the achievements platinum trophy for some games without having to buy all of the DLC, because sometimes you'll be playing through, they'll release like two DLC packs, you don't want to buy them, and just like that you can't 100% that game.
I can't think which game it was, because I used to go for 100% stuff a lot more, but I forget which game it was where I had 100% and then released the DLC and my percentage went down, and I was I worked for this, like this is the thing I was going for. I guess just like I said, as we get older, anything that's like tick boxy or completionist, like you just start to care less about it, because you're getting through stuff because you've got life to get back to. Last question from Mike, who says, would you take Splinter Cell back if it was a fundamentally different experience than the original games? It's no secret that fans were divisive about the last few Tom Clancy titles, and there's a chance that a new Splinter Cell could be something that fans would have rather stayed gone. I guess this is literally just saying, would we take an open world Ubisoft AF Splinter Cell? Which,
no.
I don't know. No. I don't know. I mean, if it was voiced by Michael Ironside, I guess I could get on board with that. Like, give me Ghost Recon, but it's stealth only, and Michael Ironside, and I guess like a plane to fly around in to drop in to different missions.
I mean, they gave us like kind of a good hybrid of the open world and stealth with Metal Gear Solid 5, but I definitely felt that that did lean a lot more on action than it did on the stealth stuff for me personally, because I'm crap at it. So I feel like if they made it so that enemies could just absolutely obliterate you and therefore you had to use stealth at like at all costs, like avoid operating in daytime, like go and do loads of night missions so you can use all the like night vision goggles and tech and stuff like that. If they made it like that, I would be on
board
with it. There's a chance that I could get on board with it, but I would not like it if they turned it into a games as a service title where it's like, log in and strangle three enemies each day to unlock Sam's bonus Kachinga coins.
Kachinga coins
To like go down to the local casino and buy this thing that might get him a purple pair of pants. Like,
I don't want to admit it, but I will. I think I'd be up for that. I think part of me misses Splinter Cell so much that I would check in to do a few little targets. So, like Hitman style. Like, so this Colonel such and such is loose in the such and such desert and you need to go find a way to kill him and he's available for the next 6 hours. I think I would take that with my little purple pants on, get my little red lights on.
I don't know why, but that just feels like it'd be like against everything that Sam Fisher would be about, because it'd be like tactical planning, research, like constantly monitoring and surveilling your enemies and taking them out when they least expect it.
Just
and
it's kind
of
like,
go, now, run through the streets with the machine gun, just firing blindly at the back of his head.
That was kind of what Splinter Cell Conviction was like, just sort of everything's gone out the window.
Did you like Conviction?
Not at the time. I went back to it because I did a big franchise playthrough a couple of years ago now, and because I love Blacklist. Like that, my top one is Chaos Theory, then Blacklist, and then the rest of them. And so, yeah, Conviction at the time, I just was like, this isn't Splinter Cell. It just feels, because it isn't really. Like, it's not the methodical way of the original trilogy.
No, it's just
I got more out of it
recently. They basically like, let's change it up because fans apparently don't like stealth. And it's like, no, that's why we're buying these
games.
That's
kind of the IP. It's, if you go back to Conviction now, I think knowing that they semi-resurrected it in Blacklist gameplay-wise, like, you can't get a bit out of Conviction at this kind of extremist deviation of everything Sam, like, everything goes so sideways for him. Mm-hmm. And his reaction is just to butcher everybody. And I love the mark and execute stuff, like tag five dudes, shoot five dudes. I think that's a cool
mechanic.
Yeah,
that's quite cool.
But yeah, Conviction was a weird one. I think if they shouldn't go down that route again, although that does feel like the closest to what they would do, because that's the hybrid of action and stealth.
My worry is that they would bring it back because obviously of the reference point in Tom Clancy's Wildlands, that they would try and do something similar to that, where it's just kind of like, here's 20 people for Sam to take down. He can take them down however he wants. It's kind of like Crackdown meets Tom Clancy. Well, and I would just be like, no, because it's too crazy and over the top. He needs to have restraint. That's the best thing about the Splinter Cell games, is that they are tense, like piano wire tense, because of the fact that you feel like every wrong moment could just spell the end of the mission.
Well, that's the thing, and I think it's so, like, that feels like it's anathema to where we're at as an industry right now. Like, what game has restraint right now? Like, there's just so little of anything, especially in a stealth context. But yeah, I would hope that they do something like that if they ever brought it back again. But yeah, thanks to everybody for sending in their various questions and thoughts. We will do the same thing next week. I always have to remember to mention our Twitter handles. Mine is @LP89. Jules, yours is
@RetroJ with a zero. And if you want to submit all of your questions for next week's episode, you can check out our Twitter accounts every Thursday, where we'll be putting out some stuff with the hashtag UBP.
The UPP. Thanks to everybody for sending in their things, and we will catch you all next week. Bye,
everyone.
Also, I'm Scott Taylor for John Badger's Guild.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.